Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's a pleasant moment, wrapped in warmth and good feelings, my mind drifting this way and that, restful, and peaceful, it's bliss. But then, it's all rudely interrupted. My calm inner world is shaken and unsettled. What was a wonderful moment has come to an abrupt end. I'm rattled by a blaring blast, a screeching sound, a deafening disturbance. What is this monstrosity? What is this devilish device that yanks me out of my rest? What is this that interrupts my life? Well, it is none other than the tyrannical alarm clock. My sleep, of which I never seem to get enough, is interrupted. The night has ended. The new day, with all of its demands, has come. Rest must end that work may begin. The comfort of my bed must be left behind for the day's activities. Night, sleep, and rest must be interrupted as the new day and its work arrives. Every day begins with an interruption. And the alarm clock's interruption is only the first in a day full of interruptions. Stoplights, text messages, notifications, emails, phone calls, conversations, accidents, surprises, disappointments. Our days are full of interruptions. Now, typically, we think of interruptions as bad, rude at best, catastrophic at worst. But interruptions aren't always bad. Sometimes we welcome interruptions. Sometimes interruptions can be a break from work, or an unexpected surprise, or a word of great news. Our days, our lives, are constantly interrupted, both for good and for ill. This Advent season, our theme has been Behold. And as Pastor Troy has said the last 2 weeks, the word Behold, which occurs throughout the Bible, functions as a verbal cue. It gets us to look at something. Behold, then, is a literary finger that interrupts the text to get our attention. Looky here. Hey, pay attention to this. The term, behold, then, is an interruption. Behold is an interjection that interrupts the flow of what's being said or written in order to shift our eyes and our ears to something else, to something new, to something important. When Scripture employs the word behold, it's often a word or message from God to His people. Sometimes the behold brings attention to God's judgment. Sometimes God's grace. Behold, stop sinning and return to the Lord. Or, behold, I am your God. I am with you. Through His word, God interrupts people's lives to grab their attention. Throughout the Bible, God was in the business of interrupting the lives of simple people. In the Garden of Eden, He interrupted Adam and Eve's flight into sin by calling out, Adam, where are you? Yahweh interrupted Abram's idol worship and told him to go to the land of Canaan. He interrupted Moses' shepherd life to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. God interrupted Samuel's sleep, whispering, Samuel, Samuel. Through Gabriel's greeting, God interrupted Mary's life, announcing her unexpected pregnancy of the Messiah. And God interrupted the night watch of the shepherds through the angel's proclamation, Behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Indeed, God is in the business of interrupting the lives of sinful people. Sometimes He interrupts to bring a word of judgment. Sometimes He interrupts to bring a word of mercy. Our Heavenly Father interrupts our lives because He doesn't want to leave us in our sin. He calls us out of our sin. If God hadn't stepped in, Adam and Eve would have continued their flight into sin. But He interrupted their flight, forcing them to stand before their holy God and receive His judgment, but also to hear the good news of a promise. A promise that He would not leave Adam and Eve and all their children in their sin, but He would send one to defeat sin. And God continued this pattern of breaking into the lives of people, interrupting their lives, giving them His word of both judgments and promises. And so God continues to break into our sinful lives, bringing us forgiveness, life, and salvation. God interrupts our lives by calling us to repentance. This is precisely what happens in the confession and absolution portion of our worship services. It is God's interruption of our sin. God stopping us in our sin, calling us to repent, and then giving us His sweet word of forgiveness. Forgiveness given to us through Jesus' death and resurrection. Behold, God interrupts our sin in order to forgive us. After all, sin is inhuman. Sin is dehumanizing, and God interrupts our dehumanizing ways in order to make us human again. By forgiving us, God restores our relationship with Him and returns us to humanity. In forgiveness, we hear our God say, "Behold, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So God doesn't give us the punishment that we deserve. He removes it. With this interruption of forgiveness, God also gives us life and salvation. And there's more that God gives. The weeks of Advent remind us that God interrupts our lives with the hope, peace, joy, and love found in Christ. And this week, the third week of Advent, is the week of joy. Behold, God gives you joy. So this sermon could focus on God's exhortation, His command to His people to rejoice. We heard that in our epistle reading from the Philippians. And we should rejoice. God has given us immeasurable joy through all that He's done for us. The joy we received as God's people is not based on our feelings in any given moment. It's a certain reality that we have no matter what befalls us. Christians are joy-filled people. As the children's song declares, "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." We do have the joy, and we should rejoice always. But we don't. It's a lot easier for us to be unjoyful than joyful. Our old patterns of sin and misery, anger and bitterness, resentment and jealousy often override the joy that we have in Christ. Sure, I may have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart to stay, where I'll keep it locked up forever and ever and never share it with anyone or anything because it's only for my heart and I can't let it out or else I might lose it or someone else will ruin it. So it's down in my heart to stay forever and ever and ever. But behold, God interrupts our behaviors of sin, anger, and joylessness with His word of joy. "Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem." So declares Zephaniah in today's Old Testament reading. These concluding verses of Zephaniah are bursting with joy. And these joy-filled verses stand in sharp contrast to the rest of Zephaniah's book. Through the prophet, God delivered His word of judgment to both His enemies and His own people for their idolatry. They had all turned against their God. And behold, He would send His righteous judgment against them. But behold, judgment is not God's final word. God's final word is a word of mercy and grace. Verse 19 declares, "Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth." Behold, God interrupts His own judgment with His promises of love, restoration, and mercy. God's people can rejoice because of what God does for His people. And so as we look at Zephaniah's text, we see that God interrupts our lives with joy. And as I said earlier, I could focus this sermon on encouraging all of us to be joyful. And truthfully, we should rejoice. God Himself commands us to rejoice in Zephaniah 3. So it'd be easy to turn this sermon into an exhortation to be joyful. God interrupts our lives by giving us joy. Behold, God gives you joy. Rejoice. But in this third week of Advent, I want our meditation to hone in on Zephaniah's proclamation in verse 17. And let these words rest upon you. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. You see, God not only interrupts our lives by giving us joy for all that he does for us, God also interrupts our lives with the joy that he has for us. God rejoices over his people. God rejoices over you. Let that settle in. Behold, God has joy over you. Through his word, God breaks into your lives, proclaiming to you that he is in your midst. God is with you. God is interrupting you this day to declare to you the joy that he has for you. God disrupts your sin and your old patterns of anger, fear, and jealousy to announce to you that he rejoices over you. Behold, God rejoices because of you. And not only you, God rejoices over all of your brothers and sisters in Christ. God interrupts your life not just today, but every day. So in the midst of frustrations and politics of a prolonged pandemic, behold, the Lord your God is in your midst. In ongoing health problems, cancer treatments, surgeries, and the death of loved ones, behold, God is a mighty one who will save. In the disappointments in your life, perhaps in the disappointments with how things are going in our church and school, behold, God will rejoice over you with gladness. In the ongoing struggle against those habitual sins that constantly rear their ugly head, in feelings of inadequacy, in the fear of letting others down, behold, God will quiet you by his love. In your ever-busy schedule, in the frantic Christmas season where there's so much that needs to be done, when ministry or your job places so many demands upon you, behold, God will exult over you with loud singing. People of God, rejoice in the God who rejoices over you. And people of God, relax. This life is not all that there is. Christ is returning to bring us into the new creation, where all will be redeemed, renewed, and restored. So in the meantime, as we journey through this life, enjoy and rejoice over God's interruptions into your lives. Behold, our God gives you great joy. Behold, our God rejoices over you. Amen. Now may the peace and joy of God, who surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.